2014, the year of victory over death and the manifestation of love. This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Hello, everybody, all of the listeners, partners, subscribers, members, and friends and family. Welcome, welcome, welcome to a very special Godcast. Today, I am sitting here with my lovely wife, Christina. Say hi, Christina.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
Today is a very special day.
Really?
Do you know what today is? You should know what today is. What's today?
You tell me.
Oh, my goodness. Today,
I know,
we are married 17 years.
Woohoo! That's unbelievable.
We are married 17 years today.
Really? Because it just feels like we were married last month.
Aw, that's adorable.
It doesn't feel like 17 years.
I know it doesn't. And we've known each other for 28 years.
Wow.
You know what I think we should do?
What?
We should, right now, at least start maybe telling our story about, like, even how we met. Because
okay.
We haven't, we've told the story about when we got into ministry and getting kicked out of church and all that stuff. That was
right.
All.
I know that someone asked that once.
Yeah, more than one.
And we said we'd do it. It seems like it's such a long story that it's like, ugh, who wants to hear that?
Okay, right, so sit down, get comfortable.
We can tell a portion of the story.
I don't know if we're going to get the whole of it today. We met in Oklahoma.
That's right.
We were doing community theater in Howard Beach, Queens, New York. And as a matter of fact, you were already in the show. I came in later for an audition.
Right.
And got the part of Ike Skidmore.
Mm-hmm.
You were playing the part of Gertie Cummings.
Yeah.
And I remember you always working on your laugh. Do you remember that laugh? Do it. See if you remember.
No.
Come on, do it.
I don't wanna.
Just do it.
No!
Do you remember how to do it?
I'd have to practice.
I think it was something like... I can't even.
It sounds like you're calling turkeys or something.
Anyway, you had like this signature laugh for the character that you were always working on.
Right.
And I remember it was during the dream sequence ballet. It was a ballet sequence. That was a dream ballet. That's what
right.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you were rehearsing it, and I was in the wings, and I looked out, and you were wearing this red leotard. It's like a one piece. Do you remember that?
Oh, the woolly one?
The woolly, yeah. It was
maroon.
Like a woolly.
It wasn't red.
It was maroon, sorry. And I looked and I went, oh, man. I remember that. Here's where it gets a little hairy now. Now, we weren't saved, so listeners.
Well, you know what I was thinking about that this morning? I was
what?
Thinking, we were Catholic in name.
Name.
Like, we were baptized. We were baptized
as infants.
We were. I did Holy Communion.
Yeah.
Did confirmation. Didn't really know what any of that was. I did believe in Jesus. I knew he died for my sins.
Yeah, but you knew that coming from a place of that's what you were taught in school.
Right. So you know. Here's my question: were we saved? I wonder.
Let me say this.
Okay.
I believe we were saved. But we didn't know we were saved.
We didn't know
like,
we didn't, saved.
Like, meaning, like, we didn't know the full scope of that. Like,
right,
what that really
right.
meant.
It was, like, really, really
yeah.
surface.
We had no idea about grace. We had no idea about repentance. We had none of that stuff.
No.
I mean, we didn't know Abraham from Moses.
I didn't know Jesus was the Lamb of God.
Oh, that's
that term that you would say at Mass, I think you said it three times or something like that. I forget the ritual of it. Yeah, I didn't know that until we went to Jesus Revival.
Right, that's right.
So, yeah.
And that story is in the one-year anniversary show, I think.
Yeah, not our one-year anniversary.
Our one-year anniversary in ministry.
Right.
Right,
this is our wedding anniversary of 17 years.
17 years married today. Anyway.
So anyway, I was thinking about that this morning and thinking... I guess we were, but here's my thing. Very soon after, well, actually when I was in college, see, now I'm backtracking, but I had questioned all of it because it didn't make any sense to me.
Which you've explained many times.
To you, and someday I will.
On the Godcast, you've explained this, on Q&As.
All right, well.
And in some of your messages as well.
Someday I'll tell the whole story, but I think I was in that place of, yeah, I knew there was a God. I always believed that. I knew that Jesus existed. I didn't know anything really basically beyond that.
Okay. We're getting way off track here.
All right, all right. Well, anyway.
Anyway, I saw you through a curtain. I was backstage.
That was the first time you saw me?
That was the first time I actually, like, really looked at you.
Because yeah. I think the first time I saw you, we were in the church basement. And we were rehearsing down there, and you were sitting at one of those lunch tables.
Yeah.
And you looked very morose and dark and disturbed.
Well, I also had...
And I went, who's that guy? just like that.
I was also wearing a black leather motorcycle jacket. I had long, thick, black, wavy hair.
We should put a picture of that on the website.
Yeah, maybe not. Who knows? Maybe we will. I don't know. Anyway, when you were like, who's that guy? And I was like looking at you from the stage wing as you're rehearsing at another time. And that's when I was like, ooh.
Hot stuff.
She's okay. That is one hot mama. So then I keep coming to rehearsal. I keep seeing you. Mm-hmm. I'm getting more and more attracted to you. Mm-hmm. And then we are backstage during the performance of one character named Judd Fry singing this song Lonely Room, if you know anything about Oklahoma.
During the rehearsals.
And I'm, because he was so
intense.
He was so intense, this guy playing Judd Fry. He was like a little too intense for the character. And I would mimic what he was singing on stage. I would be acting it out backstage, and you would be laughing hysterically.
You are very, very funny.
Yes. And that, just a hint, guys, I knew I was already starting to lose my hair, so I needed a plan B. And like I said in the last podcast, plan B was plan A. Anyway, so that's kind of like how we, you know, started our friendship.
Right,
and
right.
We became like best friends.
Right.
Now, there's one thing you need to know. As we're rehearsing for the show and we're there and blah, 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 this one time comes where we're all sitting in a big circle. And I think I was sitting next to you, I think.
I don't remember.
I think I might have been sitting next to you. I'm not, maybe two chairs away from you, whatever. And this guy walks in from the back, and you were like, oh, there's so-and-so. And I'm like, who's that? And you said...
That's my husband.
Oh, that was the worst. I'm like, your husband? And you hadn't told me you were married. I mean, you wouldn't, there was no reason for that to even come up, because we weren't really...
Right, it's not like you asked me out on a date or
yeah,
anything like that.
It just didn't come up that you were married.
Right.
And then I'm like, oh, crap. My whole world just got shot down. Mm-hmm. Now what do I do? I didn't know what to do. I was like, this is not good. Because I'm attracted to this married woman, and I don't know how she feels about me, but I know how I feel about her, and I was like very interested in you, and I just didn't know what to do. So we continue our friendship. And I had met him, you know, and everything, and you know, we started hanging out and stuff, and it was all good, but like the more we hung out, then the more I was attracted to you, and it was just not a good situation. And I'm not condoning it, and I'm not saying, hey,
well,
you know.
Well, I think the reason that we decided we wanted to tell the story, like some people might say, well, that's your past, and you don't need to tell anybody, and I agree.
Yeah.
And I think some preachers out there have chosen, hey, none of your business.
Right.
But, you know, I'm saved now, I'm a new creation,
yeah,
and so on. And I totally agree with that. And I personally feel I like to lay all my cards out on the table.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no surprises here. There's nothing that's in anybody's past that Jesus hasn't already taken care of at the cross. And, hey, you know, if someone's out there who's gone through this and is feeling condemned or being told something condemning, I want to be able to say, hey, you know what? There's nothing that you've done ever that the blood of Jesus hasn't covered.
Right, including having an affair.
Right, that you haven't already been forgiven of. Already been forgiven of. The only thing is you have to receive that forgiveness.
Right.
You have to receive the gift that's already been wrapped up and tied with a bow and presented.
Right.
So this is to encourage somebody that's out there that may have gone through this or is going through this or whatever.
Yeah.
Jesus loves you. God loves you no matter what.
We lay it all out. You're not going to find any dirt on us because we lay it. We bear our hearts on this thing.
Right. So,
so 7 years we went, though. Like 7 years we went.
It was not a good thing.
No.
It was not a...
It was not good at all.
Something you enjoy looking back on. So that's how we met. Jumping ahead, after I was separated and ultimately divorced.
The poop hit the fan.
Right. It's like amazing where you come from.
I know, it really is.
There are people in ministry that have passed. We didn't grow up in a sweet smelling, you know, yay, everything went perfect in our lives. Absolutely not.
Nope.
So there's hope for everybody. God can redeem any situation.
Right.
And there's no, again, I'm going to say it again, there's no situation that you had in your life, that you're presently in your life, that anything that's happened to you or that you personally have done, that the blood hasn't already covered.
Amen.
And that is truly good news.
That is a miracle.
That is a miracle. Oof. Anyway, so after, you know, separation, after divorce, then Frank and I decided, well...
We started living together.
Right, because we're like, hey, we've loved each other all these years. Now we're free. Let's live together.
3 years later, we went to an Amway meeting.
Right.
After living together.
Yes, okay. Now, again, all this time, I'm always searching. I know that there's a God, and I know He's calling us. Like, He's always trying to get our attention, and I'm looking for Him, but I'm looking in the wrong places. I'm not, like, me personally. I won't speak for you, but you were just kind of floating around.
I needed money is what I wanted.
That's what you were looking for. So I wasn't looking for God at the Amway meeting, but I was looking for God in my life.
I was looking for money at the Amway meeting.
Okay, so we got saved on a Sunday service at an Amway meeting.
Which was wonderful.
It's like, wow, the teaching. This is stuff that I've questioned all
exactly.
my life.
Yes.
I'm getting answers.
Yeah. Let me just say this. First of all, Amway is a good corporation.
Right.
Amway is in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's a great corporation. We were presented with an Amway business opportunity to sell Amway products as well as many name brand products.
Yeah.
And also build a business of distributorships.
Right.
We stopped doing it just because it's a lot of things in our life that just was not working out. And that was not producing any fruit because of the way we were living our life at the time. It just wasn't working out. Our schedules, it wasn't working out. I wasn't even working a job.
Right.
You were working a job. I wasn't even working a job. So the thing just didn't work out. The reason I'm bringing this up right now is because I don't want people to say, oh, Amway, oh yeah, Scamway, and all this other stuff. Like, it's a pyramid. It's not at
right.
all.
Right.
It's a good corporation.
Right.
And I just want to go on record saying that.
And you know what was one of the best things about it is that people get saved.
Yes. And that really is what those meetings, Brit Worldwide at least, or what they're all about.
Right, exactly.
It's about like, saving
yeah,
the lost.
Yeah, you can make money, and yeah, you can meet people, and you can grow
and
a business. But the most important is to meet Jesus.
Absolutely.
And make Him your Lord and Savior.
And that's the best thing that ever happened to us.
Right. And then, ultimately, we found a church, and I think we told that story already, right?
I believe we did, yes.
Yeah. So
Pastor
anyway,
Rocco.
Pastor Rocco.
Yeah, right.
So
right around the corner from our house.
Yes. Yeah, so once we got saved and started getting educated, really, like, wow, and like illuminated and wow, really?
Right.
Now I can get behind this. This makes sense.
Right.
Because the whole way I was brought up with Catholicism at the time and the way I was taught, it didn't make any sense to me. I couldn't get on board with it. It just didn't jive for me. If you're going to tell me God loves me, and then you're going to tell me that, you know, I'm getting punished. So I always had a problem with those things.
Yeah.
I always had a problem with going to confession. Why do I have to go to confession?
Right.
He's a priest. Big deal. Why can't I go straight to God? Well, these are the issues that I had.
Yeah.
Now I'm like getting answers. Wow, this is fabulous. So then as we were getting educated, we realized, well, you know, we probably shouldn't be living together. So
a year later,
we decided, well, then let's get married.
A year after getting into Amway, we got married. We decided to get married. We went to, I remember going to my parents' house and telling my parents, okay, we're getting married in 9 days.
Right, because we made the decision and we figured, well, why wait, you know, and like a year? We said, you know what? Let's get married.
Right.
I'm going to be off from school.
Because you were teaching.
Right, for a week. Perfect. Let's get married that Sunday.
Boom.
After a service. And we'll have a couple of days off. and boom, 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 we'll figure our place. We'll have, you know, keep it simple.
We gave people just enough time to find out what they were going to wear and not butt in.
They're 2 cents in and whatever. So, anyway, so that was, I guess, the quick and...
Yeah, but here's a big part now. Mm-hmm. For 7 years, we were at Jesus Revival Church in Woodhaven, New York, under the tutelage of Pastor Rocco and Pastor Lynn.
Right.
Catronio, his wife. For 7 years, all we heard was that we are the righteousness of God, and that identity was, I'm not even kidding, not hammered, drilled into our soulish area, our mind.
Right.
The identity of who we now are because of the blood and because of that revelation. That's what I was trying to get at before. We were Catholics, we were saved, but we didn't have the revelation of being saved. We didn't have the revelation of what that really is, whole package.
Yeah.
We were given a present and we never unwrapped it. That's basically what the... Mm-hmm. We had the gift, we had it.
And to be honest with you,
didn't know what it was.
We, at that point, which was back in 1997 when we got married,
right.
I didn't have the revelation I have now.
I know, exactly.
Like, there are things that I've just discovered in the past...
week.
Yes.
Really?
Really. But
stuff,
I mean,
you were telling me about the Hebrew language you're studying.
I know, but like even
crazy
like
stuff
that I've learned from Andrew Womack and Joseph Prince and Kenneth Copeland and these really awesome teachers that the scripture backs up. And like the whole thing that it was like, wait a minute, we're already forgiven.
Right.
We don't have to keep asking for forgiveness. We've been forgiven. That was a pretty recent revelation. Like, you know, you hear it, you've been forgiven. But to have that really like a light bulb go off.
It totally crystallizes.
It's like, so these things don't all happen at once. Your spirit, when you get saved, gets all that information and all that wisdom immediately.
Boom. Immediately.
And then it takes your brain, your natural brain and
your
mind,
soul.
Your soul, to catch up with that.
And that's when revelation comes. When when your soul hooks up with your spirit and ignites, that's it.
That's
revelation.
Revelation. So like that, for instance, when I just said that I heard Andrew Womack say that, you know, you're already forgiven. You've already been, the whole world, that was the revelation. The whole world has already been forgiven. The sinner and the believer have already been forgiven.
Osama bin Laden, who flew those planes into the World Trade Center, is already forgiven.
Right.
The only thing that can send a person to hell is what?
Not receiving it.
That's the only sin.
Not receiving the redemptive power of Jesus.
That's the only sin.
Yeah, right.
Because Jesus took care of every sin.
That was the revelation that I had, I guess it was like in the past 2 years or whatever. It's like, you know that, but when the wisdom of your spirit hits the understanding in your soul, in your mind, that's when you know that you know, and then you jump to the next level of faith, and then things start clicking. You go, you know, from peak to peak, higher and higher, from glory to glory. That's what brings you up to the next level. Now, if let's say we got saved at Jesus Revival and we just went on Sunday, that's nice. We went on Sunday. Right. Hey, mwah, mwah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Went home, lived our life, went to work, went back on Sunday, heard a great message. Went home, and did that year after year.
Huh.
We would not be where we are today because you have a responsibility of taking what you're being taught in a good living church and now digging into it for yourself.
Right.
Because you can't borrow or hook on to someone else's revelation.
No, you can't.
You can get knowledge from them, but you can't get revelation from them.
Right.
Because revelation has to come from the wisdom of your born-again spirit and the knowledge that you have joining together for revelation. And that only comes, I believe, through your own... Although when Pastor Rocco did say that, you know, Jesus is the Lamb of God, that was a revelation for me.
Well, because it was explained to you finally.
Right, it was explained. And I was soaking it all in. You know, but you have a job to do too. You have to search out these scriptures. And just to take this maybe off in a tangent, what you were saying about this past couple of weeks.
Right.
I don't even know how I started looking at the Hebrew. I think I was because I was reading Psalm 119.
Okay.
That might have been where I went off on this little adventure. So if you read Psalm 119, in some Bibles it's divided into the Hebrew alphabet.
Okay.
So I said, you know what? I don't even know what these things are. Because in my Bible it has alph, bet, all the Hebrew letters for each section of Psalm 119. I'll tell you which Bible I have so that you can actually see it. I have the New International Version.
Okay,
the NIV. It's one of the Bibles that I use. Okay. I don't exclusively use this. If you go to Psalm 119,
right,
at the heading of different verses, you will see a Hebrew letter or the Hebrew word for that letter. So, for example, Psalm 119, verse 1, it says Aleph, and then there's the symbol.
Let me see. Oh, I never noticed that before.
I didn't even realize that was the alphabet. And then the second one is Bet.
Bet.
And then you have
Gimel,
and then Daleth, and then He, and then, you know, on and on it goes.
So you looked up those words?
So I started looking them up. And then you find out how deep the Hebrew is. You will never get to the end of it. Never get to the end of the Bible. I believe when we go to heaven, we're going to be studying the scriptures in heaven and getting revelation for eternity. Because just looking at the Hebrew language, one letter has these deep, deep meanings. So, you know, when someone's a new Christian and they start reading the Bible and like, they read Genesis, in the beginning.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, in the beginning, God. And then you start reading it with the Hebrew letters. And then you start reading what each letter means. Each letter can have, like, a little crown on it or a little dot next to it. And it changes the meaning. And then there are words in English, you know, oh, that means that. Like love. Oh, love is that. But okay. In Hebrew, there's many different definitions of love. Uh-huh. Depending on what letter, what word, what letter is used, what other letter, how they're put together, what love they're talking about.
Mm.
It's like the word affliction. That was cool. Let me just give you an example.
Oh, yeah. You listen to this.
All right.
So much for our story.
Because, well, I think we're done with our story. Well, that part of our story anyway.
Listen to this. This really got me excited when you told me about this.
All right. Whenever you seem to see a contradiction
right.
in the Bible,
right.
I feel like I have to go deeper. Because God does not contradict himself. He doesn't say, I love you, and then chastise you. He doesn't scourge you. He doesn't whip you and rip your skin off and
right.
punish you.
Right.
What loving father would do that?
Right.
All
right.
So I'm reading Psalm 119,
okay.
and I'm reading the section that's called Yod. Y-O-D. That's the Hebrew word for the letter. Okay, and it actually looks like an outstretched hand.
The Hebrew letter?
The Hebrew
Yod?
Yod, yes. Yod is also the 10th letter of the Hebrew alphabet.
All right.
Just to show you how big this can get. It's the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, but it's the letter that appears the most. It's used to form all the other letters.
Yod.
It's like a building block.
Yod is used to form all the letters.
Yes. It's a symbol of God's omnipresence, that he's everywhere.
Right, okay.
So, Yod is a part of every Hebrew letter or word. Some interpreters say it's the spark of the Spirit. So, there's a lot of things that you can get from this. And the thought I had was, do not despise small beginnings.
Okay.
It's the smallest letter. Israel is the smallest nation. Okay.
What does this have to do with affliction?
Let me get on to affliction. Okay, let me read.
Affliction.
Okay. I'm in Psalm 119.
Okay.
73.
Right.
Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding and learn from your commands. May those who fear you rejoice when they see me, for I have put my hope in your word, which is Jesus. I know, O Lord, that your laws are righteous, and in faithfulness you have afflicted me. May your unfailing love be my comfort according to your promise to your servant. I'm going to stop there.
Now it says, and in your faithfulness you have afflicted me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, I would think that that was a bad thing. Like, oh, you afflicted me.
Right, because that's how it would be interpreted.
Okay, the English
word... Oh, you see? I could totally see, like, a religious type saying, see? Yeah, well, yeah, God is good, but, you know, sometimes he needs to afflict you.
Okay,
sometimes,
so I would think the English word afflicted
mm-hmm.
would be a bad thing. How does that translate from the Hebrew word of whatever the Hebrew is?
Okay, let me just get to that.
Where do they get afflicted from?
When I got to that line, I was like, wait a minute. That doesn't sound like God, to afflict or to punish or to beat.
Right.
All right, so it doesn't sound like God. It's out of his character. God is not a God of affliction. So I dug a little deeper. So what's not right? There are two Hebrew words that are translated affliction. One is anah and one is ra. Let me give you the definitions and how they're different. Well, when we hear the word afflicted, it sounds like, oh, bad, something
right.
ill,
right.
Misery, adversity. But that's not one of those meanings. One of the meanings, the ana meaning, okay. which is that word used in Psalm 119, is
right.
the ana, A-N-A-H. It means to humble, to teach obedience and dependence upon.
That's ana.
Right. Okay. To humble or humbled, abase self.
That's anah. Okay.
That's anah. Clearly the meaning of the word anah is to afflict in the milder sense of to humble, to bring low, to teach obedience to, and dependence upon, and not to bring misery and adversity upon. Huh. But there is another Hebrew word also translated affliction in the Old Testament that does mean adversity. That is the word ra-ah. All right. And that is found in other scriptures like Psalm 34:19. Let me just read Psalm 34:19, because now watch the difference.
Go ahead.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver him out of them all.
But the Lord deliver them.
So in one sense, you have, okay, in Psalm 119, where it says, in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let me reword that. In faithfulness, you have humbled me, taught me obedience to you, taught me dependence upon you, trained me. Now let me read Psalm 34:19 using the correct word, ra, affliction.
Okay, go ahead.
Many are the afflictions, the evil, the adversity, the distress, the mischief, the trouble, the wickedness of the righteous.
Righteous, right.
But the Lord delivers the righteous out of all those afflictions, all those evils.
Man.
So in one case, you have, okay, the Lord shows me to depend on him. The Lord shows me how to be humble. The Lord teaches me obedience to him.
So that when afflictions hit, that person, the righteousness of God, mm-hmm. being trained by God, can now depend on God to deliver him from out of all those.
That's right.
That's so good. Now that makes sense.
Right. There are two different Hebrew words that are translated exactly the same into English. So if you didn't know that, you would then assume that God puts evil on you.
To
teach you stuff.
Right.
So let me just finish by reading the last part of this document that I found. From these scriptures, the picture becomes quite clear. When we indulge in wickedness ourselves and turn from the one true God to other gods, the adversity type of affliction will come upon us because our God, whom we have forsaken, is not with us to protect us. On the other hand, when we walk with God, our Father, in his righteousness, while many adversity type afflictions may come our way, by the hand of our spiritual enemies, our God will always deliver us and keep us safe from all of them.
That's good stuff.
All right, so what seems like, you see, God brings affliction. If you're not faithful and you're not righteous and you're not walking holy, you're going to get evil on you because God's going to put it on you.
Right.
No. So here's my advice. If you ever see a contradiction in God's character in the scripture, dig deeper. Either go into the Greek or go into the Hebrew and find out what these words really mean. Don't take some theologian's word for it. Don't even take your pastor's word for it. Right. Go and find out for yourself.
Right.
This way you are equipped, and that's how you'll get the revelation of how good God is, by seeking it out for yourself. And you know what's awesome? These concordances and these translations are for free on the internet. You can find them so easily. I found so much information on the internet just translating Hebrew to English and English to Hebrew, and what the word looks like, what the letters look like. And I actually had one website where you can actually hear someone speaking the scriptures in Hebrew, which is really cool too. Okay, so we started
28 years ago. May of 1986 is when we met.
Right.
Had an affair. Mm-hmm. Got together in 94. Mm-hmm. Saw the Amway plan in 96. Got saved. Got married in 97. And then 17 years later, here we are, and we're still learning stuff.
Absolutely.
So that should give you listeners hope that you can be as great as us one day.
No! Do not say that!
It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter where you came from. They used to say in Amway, it doesn't matter if you came from Yale or from jail. It doesn't matter. What matters is right now, today, and how are you going to proceed? How are you going to go forth?
Right. Jesus is so good. The news is that good that he can take you from nothing and bring you to the highest peak.
And make you something.
And he'll make you something.
Amen to that.
Just give him the glory.
Hallelujah. Well, next week's Godcast is actually a recording of a message that I had the privilege of delivering to Seek First, a Youth Avenue Ministry outreach, and that's going to be next week's podcast. It's going to be that teaching on faith.
Cool.
And you were actually in Manhattan at the time, New York City.
What was I doing?
You were out with your friends. It was our Christmas
time. Right, it was Christmas. Okay.
And that was when you found the $50 in your purse, and Kennedy found the $100 in the guitar.
Right,
it was that night, actually.
That's okay.
So you're going to get to hear that teaching, and that was a lot of fun, and that's about it. So we just want to say this. Until next week, remember this. We love you. God loves you. And Jesus is Lord.
Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.